Suppose you find a house that you want to buy. The location is perfect. The home itself is ideally suited to be an investment. And you've determined the right price to pay, and it's only 8% less than the seller is asking. If the asking price is $200,000, the offer is for $184,000. How much sweeter and easier a deal could it be? So you make your offer, fully expecting the seller to accept. Only the seller is stubborn. She feels that the house is worth every penny she's asking, and she won't come down a dime. She won't even counteroffer. Suddenly your perfect deal is in jeopardy. The house is right, but you can't get it for the right price. What do you do? As in football, you punt. You move on. The trouble is that many investors worry that they won't be able to find a better deal. They worry that maybe their own calculations are wrong. They worry that while they're trying to figure out what to do, someone else will come in with a better offer. So you go back and change your original calculations. Okay, you figure, you can easily pay 2% more and still come out. So you send in a new offer 2% higher than the last, $190,000. Only now the seller is emboldened. Here you're sending in a new offer without her even countering. You must desperately want the house. Why should she even think about coming down in price? So she ignores your offer. What do you do now? Remember football? You punt and move on. But this is the perfect house. You'll never find another to match it. And besides, within a few years, no matter what you pay, it will be worth more and you'll make a profit. So you throw in the towel and offer the full price, $200,000, 8% more than you originally calculated the home is worth. Of course, you'll get the deal, assuming the seller's ego hasn't blossomed to the point where she now wants more than the asking price. But what kind of a deal do you have? Certainly, over a very long period of time, you'll come out okay. That's the beauty of real estate. But during that time, you've lost money. You've paid 8%, $16,000, too much for that house. If you get into a financial bind and need to sell quickly, you'll lose money. If the property appreciates at a reasonable rate of 4% a year, it will take 2 years just for you to get back to market value, not counting transaction costs. It's the sort of move that an inexperienced consumer buying one house every decade or so would make. It's not the move of a successful investor. In short, you bought wrong, and that imperiled your profits. What's worse, you may learn the wrong thing from your efforts. You may learn that in order to buy a house, it's not what you calculate its worth that counts. It's what the seller is asking. You may continue on to buy more properties at inflated prices, ruining your profits as you go. The moral of our little story is that when the seller is uncooperative, remember football and punt. Remember, there are more than 65 million homes in the country, and in any given year, probably up to 10% of those are for sale. That's a huge inventory to choose from. There's no lack of opportunity. There is, however, often a lack of fortitude. Remember, you determine what makes a deal a good one. If it's not good, you don't need to buy into it. Perhaps one more example will help. I recently was called on by a friend to help with the purchase of a home in a downtown area of Philadelphia. Since I wasn't familiar with the area, my advice was more philosophical than a practical plan of operation. Jerry called from Philadelphia and asked what he should do. He had made an offer of $300,000 on a house. The sellers were asking $360,000. They were apart by about 17% of the asking price. The sellers had come down $10,000, and Jerry had gone up $20,000. The sellers then wanted $350,000. He had offered $320,000. The difference was $30,000, or about 8% of the original asking price. But they wouldn't budge. They countered his last offer by again offering $350,000. My initial response was to ask him what the problem was. Obviously, this was not a deal made in heaven. There was a huge gap between what the sellers felt their house was worth and what Jerry felt was a good investor's price to pay. Simply move on. Punt. But, Jerry said, it's beautiful. It does need some work, but once it's put into shape, I should be able to rent it out easily. Of course, at the higher price, I can't break even after taxes, but the area is only a few blocks from one of the top areas in town. It'll be real easy to resell. And it's beautiful. It's nearly 100 years old, and the lines are just classic. I've always wanted to own such a beautiful house. I thought a moment, then asked him if he had considered all of this when he made his original offer of $300,000. Of course I did, he answered haughtily. I then asked him why he had increased his offer by $20,000. How had his figures changed? Jerry stammered a bit and said he went back and recalculated. He figured that maybe he could squeeze out a few $100 more in rent if he fixed it up really nicely. Also, maybe the comparables weren't in quite as good shape as this property would be when it was fixed up. In short, he figured he could come out with the higher $320,000 figure, which was still $30,000 less than the sellers were asking. Okay, I replied. Then, from what you're telling me, it seems that it's quite safe for you to pay $300,000 for the home. On the other hand, if you're willing to take some risks, and if everything goes just right, you might get away with paying $320,000 for the house. That's probably not the best way to buy, but just maybe you'll come out. But, I continued, the sellers are in no way interested in the $320,000 price. They want $30,000 more. And from what you're saying, no way does the property warrant that much more money. So what's the problem? Simply punt. Walk away. But, Jerry whined, it's the sellers. They just don't see that their property is worth less. They simply won't listen to reason. Do you think if I came back at $325,000, $5,000 more, they would see the light? Now I understood what the problem was. This was no longer an investment for Jerry. It was a love affair. He had fallen for the house, and in his emotional condition, no price was too much to pay for it. My final advice to him was to wait and see. Why not give it some time, I suggested. Don't do anything for a few weeks. Maybe by then the sellers will come around. In the meantime, why don't you keep your options open? Why not keep looking for other investment houses? In other words, maybe in a few weeks your infatuation with the property will pass and reason will again take hold in your mind. Jerry agreed. I got a call about a month later. No, the sellers of that original home hadn't come down in price, but he had found another property that was even better situated. He had made a lowball offer, and after some countering, he had bought it at a good price. He still regretted missing out on his beautiful house, but his pocketbook was going to be fatter for having let it go. The moral of the story is that in order to get a property at a price you want to pay, you may need to make offers on 2, 3, a dozen, even 2 dozen different properties. When the sellers don't go along, you remember football and punt. You move on to the next property. In short, you simply play the numbers. There are a lot of good potential investments out there. If one doesn't pan out, keep making offers until you find one that does.